Surely an honor and a joy to be here together tonight. As always, to be able to worship our God in spirit and in truth, to be able to do so in a manner that is according to His Word, and not according to man's imagination. To those of our guests who are with us tonight, we thank you for joining us. It is always encouraging to see sister and members of sister congregations be here with us, supporting us, and we thank you for your presence. But at the same time, to those of our friends who have yet to accept our Lord's gospel of salvation, we are even more thrilled to see you amongst us, knowing that we are ready whenever you are to sit down together, open God's word, and to speak about what that plan of salvation is. So if you have any questions, please don't go home with them. We're more than ready to engage in that conversation in love and with God's word in hand. If you will, please open your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel. Book of Ezekiel chapter 13. Where we will now take from verses 10 through 16. Book of Ezekiel, chapter 13, beginning there at verse 10. Because they have seduced my people, saying peace when there is no peace, and one builds a wall, and they plaster it with untempered mortar. Say to those who plaster it with untempered mortar that it will fall. There will be flooding rain, and you, O great hailstones, shall fall, and a stormy wind shall tear it down. Surely when the wall has fallen, will it not be said to you, where is the mortar with which you plastered it? Therefore thus says the Lord God, I will cause a stormy wind to break forth in my fury, and there shall be a flooding rain in my anger, and great hailstones in fury to consume it. So I will break down the wall you have plastered with untempered mortar, and bring it down to the ground, so that its foundations will be uncovered, it will fall, and you shall be consumed in the midst of it. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Thus will I accomplish my wrath on the wall and on those who have plastered it with untempered mortar. And I will say to you, the wall is no more, nor those who plastered it. That is, the prophets of Israel who prophesy concerning Jerusalem and who see visions of peace for her when there is no peace, says the Lord God. You will please bow with me. Our Heavenly Father and our beloved God, we praise thy name and we glorify thee for the many blessings thou hast given us. But above all, our Divine Father, we give thee our gratitude and we give thee our praise because of thy Son, thy only begotten Son, whom thou gavest this world, because thou truly love us first. Father, now that we, Father, seek to study thy word, allow us to understand, Father, about the unwise decision of building with untempered mortar. Allow us, Father, to be able to pierce through these lessons, Father, and not only that we may understand them, but, Father, that we may have the courage to practice them, to apply them in our daily living. For our friends, Father, who have yet to accept those terms of peace that are found through thy Son, we ask, Father, that you open their understanding, that you allow them to listen intently, Father, to listen carefully to the words that thy servant will be sharing tonight, and that those words may come straight from thee, Father, and not from human opinion, that as they research thy scriptures to verify if I indeed have spoken as thy oracle or not, they may see that indeed, Father, thy word has been completely given, Father, as thou have given it to us. Forgive us, Father, when we have fallen before temptation. Forgive us when we, Father, have not been godly in our actions. We ask and we pray this not because we are worthy, but we do it in the glorious and mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If I were to ask you, what does a fox, an unreliable building material, and a sorceress have in common? Would you think about Ezekiel chapter 13? You see, in this chapter, those are the three images that God uses. We see that a fox is used for those prophets that were from within the people of Israel, who were trying to give false hope in regards to the 70 years of Babylon. These are the foxes in the desert that we see in verse 4. The untempered mortar that we will be seeing, we see that this is the unreliable intel, the unreliable information, or better known as the false doctrine, that these false prophets were spreading. But then we see in verses 17 to the end of the chapter that God speaks about those women who profess themselves to be prophetesses, but in reality were more like sorceress. They were sorceresses or witches, if you will, because they were teaching enchantments and teaching certain superstitions, making the people believe in them, thinking that they would be able to find safety and salvation. So when we think about a fox, we think about an unreliable building material, and we think about a sorceress or a witch, we see that the thing they have in common is that they are all unreliable, that they are all false, and they are all going to take advantage and make us vulnerable when the day of judgment comes. You see, brethren, when we talk about in untempered mortar, as you perhaps have become accustomed to when we study together, I hope and pray that you paid attention to how many times God uses this phrase. How many times you find the words untempered mortar in the passage that we have read. And we see that this untempered mortar is similar to a cement mix that a person would mix but not right. Without a doubt, it is talking about a building material that is used to keep a wall together, which is why here as our imagery we have a wall that has fallen down. When untempered mortar is not used, or think about, if you will, a sand that is mixed without lime, or clay that is used without straw. This, brethren, in the Spanish translation, is translated as loose sand, or loose clay, or mud. It means something that does not have something that will tie it, and it is something that is supposed to keep a wall firm and sturdy, but it is not able to because there is no bonding agent that actually ties the material together. Thus, what we are seeing, brethren and friends who are listening to us tonight, is that the untempered mortar that God repeats time after time after time is in reference to false doctrine. It is in reference to believing lies, and it is in reference to what those false prophets and those sorcerers were selling the people there who were still at Jerusalem, giving them snake oil, as we mentioned this morning. The sales pitch, if you will, the deceitfulness of what they were trying to spread, the false hope they were giving the people, making them believe that because they were of the bloodline of Abraham, God would never destroy Jerusalem. This was the untempered mortar that God was warning His own people against. Now think about it once again. Think about you are about to build your own home. And without a doubt, think about the fact that you decide to trust in a shady builder. What would that cost be? What would that cost be if that shady builder who wants to build by cutting corners, who wants to save as much money for his own pocket but not for you, decides to use whatever cement mix he can find the cheapest? If he were to use sand without lime, if he were to use clay without straw, well then how dangerous would that house be to live in? If he did not follow the proper procedure that is required to build a sturdy and lasting foundation. Without a doubt, brethren, as we study this, you and I have to keep in our mind Matthew chapter 7, the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, where we see that Christ speaks precisely about this. He speaks about one who builds upon the sand, that when the floods and the rains and everything comes and strikes that house, the ruin is great, as according to Luke in his account of that great parable. Therefore, brethren, when we study this, we see that in chapter 13 it began by speaking about the false prophets found among the people. But now tonight I want us to see the dangers of edifying with untempered mortar, or more accurately spoken in spiritual terms, the dangers of edifying with false doctrine. The dangers of giving false information. The dangers of building with words that God did not speak, and allowing tolerances that God did not allow, or removing the ones that God has already put into place. Doing so is building or edifying with untempered mortar. Notice, brethren, that when that happens, well, the structure appears to be solid and safe. This morning we mentioned the fact that these cunning and deceitful foxes, what they do is they give us an appearance that lures us into believing that they're not dangerous. We read about Matthew chapter 23 verses 25 through 28 where Christ compares them to a cup that is clean outside but is dirty on the inside. He compares them to whitewashed tombs where they seem beautiful and decorative, but how many of us would want to be into one of those tombs? Therefore, they appear to be solid. Their logic seems to be straight. Their philosophy seems to be correct. But when it comes to putting it to the test, when the inspector known as Christ comes to see if indeed the right mix has been used, this structure will only get as far as it appears. But it is not solid, and it is not safe, because it is only solid and safe in appearance. Turn your Bibles to Isaiah, chapter 30. Notice that the prophet Isaiah also speaks of a similar imagery. Isaiah chapter 30, beginning at verse 8. And I want you to keep in mind, as you are turning your pages to get there, I want you to keep in mind that Isaiah and Ezekiel were about 100 years apart from one another. And it is amazing that these two prophets of the Lord, being 100 years apart of one another, are using a very similar and strikingly resemblant of each other in regards to the figure that is being used in terms of what false doctrine can do for one of another. Beginning there at verse 8, "Now go, write it before them on a tablet, and note it on a scroll, that it may be for time to come, forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children who will not hear the law of the Lord, who say to the seers, 'Do not see,' and to the prophets, 'Do not prophesy to us right things. Speak to us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get out of the way, turn aside from the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us.' Therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, 'Because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perversity and rely on them, therefore this iniquity shall be to you like a breach ready to fall, a bulge in a high wall whose breaking comes suddenly in an instant. And he shall break it like the breaking of the potter's vessel, which is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so there shall not be found among its fragments a shard to take fire from the hearth or to take water from the cistern." Notice that the first thing the Bible teaches us, brethren, in accordance or a parallel passage found here by prophet Isaiah, is that they were like a bulge or a breach in a wall that is ready to fall. You see, brethren, if we use the wrong mixture, or if we make the wrong mix when it comes to cement or whatever we're going to lay as our foundation, eventually air bubbles are going to appear. And when those air bubbles begin to appear, those are weaknesses that are starting to be shown that the structure is not sound. That begins to teach us then that where we are dwelling or where we are living in is an unsafe environment that brings a huge risk to our well-being. The same is true, brethren, when we start putting man's opinion above the Word of God. The same is true when we want to justify our thoughts, our ideas, or our philosophies based on a commentary made by a man whom we respect highly. The same is true when we stop saying, "Thus saith the Lord," or "It is written," and we replace it with, "Well, the preacher said," or "The elder said," or "Brother and sister so-and-so said." This is why Paul says there in Galatians chapter 1, beginning at verse 8, "Whether it be from an angel, whether it be from one of the apostles, whether it be from anyone who wants to give a different gospel than the one that God has already given," and again I'm paraphrasing, Paul says, "Let him be accursed." Well, here's why he's accursed. Because he is not building something solid. He is not building something that's actually sturdy. He is only making it look nice. He is only making it sound good. But the reality is that he is cutting corners. He is mixing a cheap mix because he's trying to make more profit from his client whom he's deceiving. So we see, brethren, that the structure only appears to be safe. It only appears to be solid. But then observe that it is missing the essential bonding agent. We mentioned this already. The mortar that is mentioned there by Ezekiel, it is actually clay used that is not using straw. When you mix the clay and the straw before the cement was invented, and we are reminded of Pharaoh, are we not? When he commanded the Israelites that were there in bondage to make clay without straw. And they complained and they mourned when this was taken away from them. Well, the reason is because the clay was the bonding agent. The clay would make the straw, was actually going to make the clay tie and be useful for structures and buildings. So essentially, Pharaoh was setting them up for failure. Pharaoh was setting them up to be blamed if one of those structures that were built with their bricks that did not have straw in them would fall or hurt someone. He was going to blame them unless they found a way to make this clay bond and be strong and solid. You see, what Christ is saying here is that these false doctrines, these false hopes that they were selling could not stick. They would not stick. And you have to remember that Christ is the foundation. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 11 teaches us this. And therefore, since He is the cornerstone from which all the foundation of the apostles are leading itself off of, Ephesians chapter 2 verse 20, we see then that anything that is being trying to put, something that does not connect or does not associate and bond seamlessly with the doctrine of Christ will cause damage to the structure. So when we see the fact that it is missing the essential bonding agent, what we are seeing is they will not stick. False doctrine cannot and will not stick when the truth of God reveals it to be false. Turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 28. Now we've seen that Ezekiel and Isaiah were 100 years apart. But now remember that Jeremiah and Ezekiel were contemporaries of one another. Jeremiah was preaching to the people in Jerusalem for 23 years before Nebuchadnezzar arrived for the third time to take the final remnant captive and to burn down the temple and burn down the city. So what we read here in chapter 28 is that under the reign of Zedekiah, that third and final king that was ultimately taken out, we see then that Jeremiah is professing what God had given him in the symbol of those yokes that he was wearing. A man by the name of Hananiah, a false prophet who was selling untempered mortar. Notice what he comes to say in verse 10. Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and broke it. And Hananiah spoke in the presence of all the people saying, "Thus says the Lord." Let's pause right here. We can then by definition of Ezekiel chapter 13 verses 1 through 4 claim this man is an example of a fox in the desert. This man is an example of that dangerous kind of prophet. Because he was saying, "Thus said the Lord," when God did not speak on his behalf. We continue reading. It says, "Even so I will break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. Now the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, after Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, "Go and tell Hananiah, saying, Thus says the Lord, you have broken the yokes of wood, but you have made in their place yokes of iron. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron on the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him. I have given him the beasts of the field also. Then the prophet Jeremiah said to Hananiah the prophet, Hear now, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, but you make this people trust in a lie. Therefore, thus says the Lord, Behold, I will cast you from the face of the earth. This year you shall die, because you have taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the seventh month. Brethren, what must be done with foxes when they are spoiling the vineyards? You can't catch and release those animals. They'll come back. You either keep them caged, which will not help anybody, or you kill them. Observe how Hananiah, being a fox in the desert, God takes care of this fox himself. And notice that Hananiah was trying to sell as a dishonest builder. He was trying to sell untempered mortar. He was selling clay without straw. He was promising in the name of God, claiming that God had spoken to him, that the captivity would only pass within 2 full years. He was directly contradicting the man of God. Where Jeremiah had a wooden yoke to show the people what was about to take place, this man thought that by breaking this wooden yoke, he could inspire the people to continue their rebelliousness against King Nebuchadnezzar. But remember what we said this morning? Remember how we see in Jeremiah 13, verse 8 and 9, that they actually made matters worse by selling false hope? How they were using Vicks Vapor Rub on a broken bone, as my mother used to? Did not heal the bone. It perhaps made it worse because it remained broken. God shows Hananiah in verse 13 what would have been a wooden yoke, you have now secured it to be one of iron. His rebellious heart, his lack of repentance, his lack of humility and meekness, his unwillingness to obey God's command and turn away from their sins. May God then tell him, now it's inevitable. Now, not only will it happen, but you will receive the full 70 years that I've been trying to avoid you had you turned over from your sins. Chapter 29, we see this to be true because God speaks to the people. And we see where God says that had they repented, had they turned away from their sins, he would have relented from doing the harm that he said he would. But Hananiah and those foxes like him were very good at selling ice to Eskimos, weren't they? They were really good at making believe that what the foundation that they were setting was solid, that it was stern. And because just by looking at it and seeing that it was mixed, because people would not inspect the mix, they would never realize that there was no straw to tie. There was no straw to bond. But you see, brethren, that's the danger of believing in a lie. The lie will eventually fall under the weight of truth. The lie will eventually break down. And if we were caught in this lie, if we were deceived by this lie, or as Luke says when he repeats the parable of building upon the sand, the ruin will be great. You see, it's danger to edify, brethren, with false doctrine, with our opinions, with our own thoughts, without letting God's truth to guide us. It is dangerous because that unsound structure is doomed to fail. That wall will fall. That house built with that cheap material, that house built with that unsound and unsafe material will fall. And if it does, We better pray and hope that we are not inside at night sleeping when it does. It is not a place where we want to go to look for shelter or safety when a hurricane, a tornado, or a strong storm comes by. But how often, brethren, do we try to adhere by saying, "But he told me," "But he said," "But he told me this would work," "But the brother secured me, this was right. He assured me and he looked confident that this was what God approved." The question God will be then asking is, did you check for straw in the mix? Did you make sure that what you were using was tempered? Or did you just rely upon a salesman who was very good at his job? Turn your Bibles to Micah chapter 3. Micah chapter 3. You know, brethren, I mentioned this once before and I'll mention it again. But here in Micah chapter 3, if ever you, my friend, who are hearing my voice, if ever you want to know, how can I tell the difference between a false teacher and a man of God? Well, look what Micah has to say in regards to that, beginning there at verse 5. Thus says the Lord concerning the prophets who make my people stray, who chant peace while they chew with their teeth, but who prepare war against him who puts nothing in their mouths. Therefore you shall have night without vision, and you shall have darkness without divination. The sun shall go down on the prophets, and the day shall be dark for them. So the seers shall be ashamed, and the diviners abashed. Indeed, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer from God. Verses 5 through 7 are false prophets. Notice a true man of God in verse 8. But truly I, this is Micah speaking, but truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord, and of justice and might to declare to Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. Now hear this, you heads of the house of Jacob and rulers of the house of Israel, who abhor justice and pervert all equity, who build up Zion with bloodshed and Jerusalem with iniquity. Her heads judge for a bribe, her priests teach for pay, and her prophets divine for money. Yet they lean on the Lord and say, "Is not the Lord among us? No harm can come upon us." Therefore, because of you, Zion shall be plowed like a field. Jerusalem shall become heaps of ruins, and the mountains of the temple like the bare hills of the forest. By the way, Micah was also 100 years before Ezekiel. Micah was a contemporary of Isaiah. Notice how Micah makes the comparison between fact and fiction. Those who were selling fiction were selling peace when they were at war with God. Notice that verse 5 says that they chanted peace while they chewed their teeth and they prepared to war against God. They were the ones trying to speak things through. They were trying to convince people with their words, knowing that what they were saying was false. But in verse 8, we see great qualities of what makes a man of God a man of God. He is full of power by the Spirit of the Lord. Today, this is equivalent of saying he is full of understanding of the Word of God, because the gospel of God is power, Romans 1, 16 and 17. We see that he who speaks it is written, which is the Old Testament equivalent of "thus saith the Lord," is not only going to say things that we want to hear, is not only going to tickle our ears because they itch. Notice that Micah says that he was not only full of the power by the Spirit of the Lord, but he was also full of justice, and he was also full of might. And because he was full of justice and might, notice that what he was going to declare to Jacob was not the good news that Hananiah wanted to sell, but he was going to declare Jacob his transgression. He was going to declare to Israel his sin. not to make him feel bad, not to point the finger and embarrass him, but to teach him that he was buying the wrong product. And the building, the structure, the wall that he was building that untempered mortar with was going to fall. And it would fall on top of them. Because God says that because of their deceit, Zion would be plowed. Jerusalem would be heaped in ruins. And that's exactly what happened. The temple was burned. The walls of Jerusalem were broken. And Zedekiah, who tried to cowardly escape, was caught. Saw the death of his children, and that was the last thing he ever saw. Because then his eyes were taken out, and he was taken to Babylon, guess in what? Bronze fetters. The iron yoke that Jeremiah was told to prophesy came to be true. So you see, brethren, when our faith is built upon human opinion, when our faith is built on commentaries from men that we respect, when our faith is built on ideas that have no biblical base, because it is unsound and unreliable, we are doomed to fail.
Amen.
This is why, brethren, it is dangerous to build or edify our spiritual being with untempered mortar. Our faith should be built on Christ and Christ alone. Our faith should be developed through the Word of God and the Word of God alone. Because God has already mixed and laid the foundation for us. All we have to do is build on top of that foundation. Now, whether we want to use wood or precious stone, well, that depends on how hard we want to work on our mansions in heaven. And finally, we see that it will cause great harm and ruin. Go with me to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21, beginning at verse 29. Then he spoke to them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they are already budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. But Brother Obed, here it isn't talking about Judgment Day. Why would you use this passage? This is talking about the fall of Jerusalem in AD 70. Why would you use this passage? Because it's talking about the fall of Jerusalem in AD 70. They didn't listen. They did not take heed to the words of Christ. They listened to the words of the scribes, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees, who accused Christ of being a blasphemer, who crucified him and put him as a curse to the people. They chose not only to believe in the word of the Sanhedrin that declared that Jesus was worthy of death on the cross, but they relied upon their own traditions, the traditions of the elders. And thus what we see in verse 34 is the danger of self-confidence. Self-confidence in the wrong doctrine. They were more reliant upon their human leaders and did not research for their own to verify if indeed Jesus was the Messiah according to Scripture. You see, Saul of Tarsus used to be that way, but then he saw the light. And when we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, the Apostle Paul, as he was later known, continuously repeats the phrase, according to the Scriptures. He speaks about how Christ died according to the Scriptures, how He was buried and resurrected on the third day according to the Scriptures. Paul was pointing to the Scriptures to show his disciples, whom he was teaching there in Corinth, that this was not, as Peter calls it, some cunningly devised fable. Because Peter too, when he uses those words, says that the Holy Spirit moved these holy men. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. But you see, brethren, when we build with untempered mortar, that is false doctrine. When we build with untempered mortar, that is human opinion trying to replace divine doctrine, the harm and the ruin will be great. Because we're going to become oblivious to the reality. We're going to think that we are safely dwelling in our homes. We're going to be carousing. We're going to be enjoying life as if nothing is going to happen. Just like they did there at Jerusalem, both at 586 BC and AD 70. Because they were hearing these false teachers, these false prophets, telling them that God would never destroy His chosen people. Here's the irony of that. His chosen people, God will never destroy. But they were not His chosen people. The Church of Christ is. We are His chosen people if we are faithful unto death. But the question now is, what are we building with? What material are we buying to build? Are we using the material that God has already mixed for us, that has that bonding agent of truth, that has that bonding agent of reason, that has the bonding agent of His Spirit-inspired Word? Or are we building with untempered mortar, based on our emotions, based on our desires, based on our preferences and conveniences? If we are, then we are going to be harmed, and our ruin will be great, because that wall is doomed to fail. That wall and that building will fall. And beware, we are not inside when it crumbles down and we are crushed by our own deceit. Thus, my friend, tonight, I ask you, what kind of home are you dwelling in? Right now, in your situation, are you confident that you have enough time to be able to repent and give your life over to God? Are you so sure that you don't think that wall may fall on you this night? Or would you like to make sure by removing that shady building and letting Christ build one that is sturdy, one that has a solid foundation, one that will be able to resist winds, floods, storms, and anything that gets thrown at it? Only in Christ can you find that sort of building. Matthew 7, chapter 7, verses 13, teaching it forward, teaches us that Christ calls this building upon the rock. But if you want to deceive yourself and make yourself believe that you still have time, please realize that you're a building upon sand that has not been mixed with lime. And this is why, if that day comes upon you suddenly, your ruin will be great. Well, we don't want you to lose everything. We want you to gain it all. But the only way that can happen is by you obeying the gospel of Christ in the waters of baptism tonight. You've heard the word of God from which comes faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. If you're still here, it's because you've been accepting it because you believe. Mark 16, 15 and 16. But now you have to be willing to repent. Stop building with that untempered mortar. And start using the right material. That's a change of heart. That's repentance. Do not be prideful thinking that your mix is going to work. And accept that you have the wrong mix. Luke chapter 13 verses 1 through 5 teaches us that if you do not repent, you will die in your sins. But then you have to be willing to confess that Jesus is the Son of God, just like the Ethiopian eunuch did at Acts chapter 8 verse 36 and forward. And like the Ethiopian eunuch, you have to be willing to stop the chariot, descend into the water, and be baptized into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as is commanded by Christ Himself at Matthew 28, 19 through 20. And when you rise from that waters of baptism, be faithful unto death, because a crown of life is promised to those who do so. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Don't you want to stop building with untempered mortar? Don't you want to secure your heavenly home, make sure that it doesn't fall on top of you or your family? If there's anyone here tonight subject to the invitation, we encourage you to come forward as we stand and